We've received a letter. It's from Paul. Second lesson, Colossians 1:1-14. We meditate today on the first verses of this letter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord, we pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Can you hear it? Is it running? Walking through the parking lot, a parking lot with my mother-in-law a week or so ago. You know, you can't hear these cars nowadays, she says. Fortunately, there are the tail lights that tell you that thing's about to back up, and yes, indeed, it is running. We should not have to get hit by the thing to know that, yes, it's running. People treat the Word of God that way. They think if they can't hear it or see it, they think it's not working. The Lord's Apostle Paul, in this letter that was meant to be read to all the Christian congregations throughout the world for all time, is telling us, hey, God's Word is working. God's Word is working all over the world. One of the things I love about going to the intensive study of what we call summer quarter is getting to hear the stories of what's going on, the gospel, all over the world. So I'm sitting across from some of the younger pastors, because most of them are nowadays, and they're telling me about the work they're doing on the new hymnal. Not wanting to embarrass myself, I asked the one across from me, and what committee do you serve on? I've been reading, you know, all the emails and the keeping up with the new hymnal, and he said very quietly and respectfully, I'm the chairman of the hymnal committee. I knew his father as a music teacher in prep. I didn't have him, but his mother taught our son Joel in great piano lessons that Joel never liked, but still. What a great choice for work on the new hymnal. And I thank God for that. I started telling them about how thankful I am for the work that they're doing and what I like to share with the members of Christ at New Life when they ask that question that those guys have heard a million times. Why do we need a new hymnal? I like to ask, do you ever sing Amazing Grace? Oh yeah, I love that one. Wasn't in our old hymnal. How about On Eagle's Wings? Like that one? Oh, that's one of my favorite. Wasn't in our old hymnal. How about In Christ Alone? Oh, that's a great hymn. We just love to sing that one in our church. That wasn't even in our new hymnal. That was in the supplement. Along with Peace Came to Earth, The Lamb, and other favorites that are growing. You see, God's word is working in all the world, and it's not just in the Wisconsin Synod among our musicians. We have some wonderful musicians, but the Holy Spirit working in that word is pouring out these praises in other places, and other Christians are singing these songs, and we would love to sing them too. In our little corner of God's kingdom and his body that we call the Wisconsin Synod, you can't always hear it working. But God's word is working, whether you hear it or not. The Apostle Paul himself needed the Holy Spirit's reminder in his own letter that God's word is working because he was in prison, under house arrest, as far as we know, where he wrote the captivity letters, along with Colossians. There's also Philemon, both going to the city of Colossae. There's also Ephesians and Philippians. He said, I'm chained, but the gospel is not chained. Throughout the world, it keeps on working. Some people are like stagnant ponds. Water flowing in, but none flowing out. They keep everything they have of their time and their treasure all for themselves, and they just don't realize. You know, the longer you go like that, the more you're like the Dead Sea. Dead Sea has no outlet either. Bodies can float, but nothing can live. Exactly the opposite of the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit is pouring in his word through word and sacrament, and Paul is just pouring it out. He's overflowing with thankfulness as he thinks about the Christians in Colossae, because you heard it, you believe it. That gives us great reason for thanks. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because you heard. We've heard of your faith in Christ, the love you have for all the saints, that faith and love that spring up from the hope that's, it's on layaway. That would be our expression. It's on layaway in the heavenlies. And that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that came to you, and it's all over the world. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. You can't always hear the engine of God's grace running, but it most certainly is running. Most of you don't realize that on a couple Saturdays in June, we were blessed in our congregation to get out into the neighborhoods personally. 600 homes on two Saturdays, 20 volunteers, not even all of them members of our congregation, some former members, some friends that just came to help, but to physically walk to our neighbors to say, this really means something to us, that you would hear this gospel of salvation and come, and to leave them our New Life brochures, the gospel is there. Maybe it'll get picked up in 20 years. Somebody puts it away on a shelf, and somebody reads it, and the gospel will keep on working, because that's what it does. I had heard that one of the pastors I knew from China was called to the seminary. He's only been out like 4 or 5 years. And they had a new position for him. And I wondered about that. What's this new position? It's international recruiter. Why do we need a recruitment officer for international purposes at our seminary? Here's the reason. God's word is working all over the world. I found out there's already 150 pastors in training with our Wells pastors and seminaries all over the world. But there's 450 more that are begging for that training in Asia, India, Africa, Europe, South America. They actually needed someone to manage all the requests that are coming in so that the professors who are called to teach those classes can do so. Just because you can't hear it doesn't mean it's not running. Watch for the light. The light of Christ tells us God's word is working throughout the world, and it's growing spiritual fruit. One of the cool things about Colossians is Paul did not start this congregation. Two of his 13 letters were written to churches he did not start. The other one is Rome. He says, you heard it first from a fellow member, Epaphras, dear fellow servant, faithful minister of Christ. Here's how it goes together with Acts. Paul was on his third missionary journey, spent, 3 years in Ephesus. And during that time, while he's in this major hub of commerce, people are coming all over the world to this marketplace, and that's where Paul was. Epaphras apparently came from these three cities close to Colossae there. That became kind of a backwater by this time, but Epaphras came, he heard the gospel, he believed it. He goes back home and tells everybody, gathers a congregation together in his house, and wouldn't you know it, as soon as the gospel is there, Satan tries to mess it up with lies from false teachers. Epaphras didn't know what to do, but he needed to go back to school. He didn't just have to go to someplace close to Milwaukee in a nice car and all that stuff. He had to go 1,300 miles, mostly on foot, somewhat by sea, to a man that was in prison. He had to talk to Paul. And apparently Epaphras also ended up in prison with Paul. He's a fellow prisoner. But he had to find out, how do we combat this heresy, this idea that you can solve all your problems with education and knowledge. Does that sound familiar? Very spiritual people. Oh, Christianity's fine, you know, the Bible's fine, but you got to really hear the greater knowledge from us. And so the fruit was going to be stymied there. There wasn't going to be any growing. For this reason, Paul says what he does, instead of going on and telling us all of what that false doctrine was like in Colossae, he just sends this tidal wave of God's truth to overwhelm it. So in Colossians, you have one of the greatest expression of the sufficiency of Christ, how Christ is God, he's creator, he's everything. Other places in the Bible say it, but in this particular letter to the Colossians, Paul just pours on the heat, turns on the light. This is Christ, he's all you need. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you're bearing good fruit, fruit for God. You hear Paul's joy. He's just so excited, so happy to be a minister of Christ. Minister means service. How would that make you happy? Well, there's an example I love about little kids, maybe in their teens, but maybe even preteens. They're still riding bikes, so they have to be. They're in a town not too far from here. I can't mention the name. I went on the website to check this out, and they officially say the colors are forest green and cheese gold. And so in this place where these really big men have to get from a locker room down to a field, it's in a town that's really close to a place where they have this big green bay, okay? And so these kids, they want to help these players get from the locker room down to the practice field, so they bring their bikes. And they let these, I can just imagine these big guys getting on these bikes and they're just kind of coasting down. The kids walk along beside them and they love to do this. In fact, they love it so much that some of these players, bad as they are, of course, they actually will go out and buy bikes for kids that don't have them so the boys and girls can come and take part in this service. That's Paul's attitude towards serving God. There's nothing like it. As some of you know firsthand, maybe you were taught this as kids, you grow up serving the Lord. Yeah, there's sad times and there's heartaches and there's times when you just shake your head and say, "Why, Lord?" But it's the Lord God Almighty. It's the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sanctifier. You get to serve Him. And if you don't have a bike and you feel like you're short on strength and time and effort, you can go back to the unlimited reserves of His grace. And sometimes you don't even have to ask because He's just watching. And He knows your heart and He knows what you want to do. And He goes to a store where, oh, the bikes are things like grace and peace and mercy and kindness and joy and gladness, and money can't buy these treasures. And He pours it into your heart till it's just overflowing like Paul. You can't stop. You want to do more. And when you're short on resources, God will buy another bike. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit, growing, rich spiritual fruit, and flooding God's kingdom with light. One of the most scary things I ever heard on an airplane was not from the pilot, fortunately, or even from a crew member, but it was from a gal sitting by the window. I was by the aisle, and she was saying, she was a PhD candidate in neurological, and she said, "We don't know the cause of a single neurological disease, and we're just shooting in the dark trying to figure it out." She was very adamant about that. And of course, then I have to come back and ask the question, not a single one? Not a single one. We don't know. So, okay, now think about this. So, science is going to solve all our problems? We haven't even figured out the nerves yet? I mean, I totally get that part, but why would you think that scientists could solve all your problems when we live in the reality of that? We're doing the best we can. Huge knowledge, great databases, wonderful experience, but... So a few years ago in National Geographic, they were talking about, well, like they always talk about in National Geographic, global warming, all the reasons why we should not drive our cars. And this scientist was saying that they try to hold back on their predictions because people accuse them of being alarmists. So whatever they're saying, it's really a lot worse than that. And then he said, this is how bad it really is. And he used this expression, I couldn't believe it. He said, what we really ought to fear is not global warming, but global burning. How could you be so close to the truth and yet miss it by so much? Unless you're in the darkness without the Creator, without His Son Jesus, without the Holy Spirit in this Word. That's where we get the lights turned on. There will be global burning. The Lord said the first time He destroyed the world with water, never again, there's the rainbow. Next time, global burning. Be ready, the Lord keeps saying. Be ready. And you Colossians are ready. We pray this in order that you may live a life in the light. Live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so you'll have the great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He's brought you out of the darkness into the wonderful light of His knowledge, so that you can take the good science and the wonderful things that God is teaching us and glorify God the Creator in what you know and what you learn and where you work. It's a wonderful blessing. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's what does it for me. I don't want to go back to the swamps of darkness. You know, you're hearing all these stories and seeing the videos of so much violence in our world today. So much hatred, so much race hatred, hatred against all authority. You grieve for people that are dying for needless reasons, no matter what race they are, and especially for the police officers trying to keep order. It grieves our hearts as well, it should. But this is what the Lord said would be happening toward the end, and He says, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Don't go back to the darkness. Don't go back to the swamps. Why go back and rebuild on a floodplain where people that you love will die and where violence is the order of the day? In Christ's light, trust that this gospel is working whether you hear it or not, flooding God's kingdom with light starting in our own hearts and shining out into all the world. Can't hear it, but you can see it. And soon you will hear the praises of the angels and the saints in glory as we praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Your word is working. Amen.